Welcome to the Open Continent Podcast.
I'm Leticia, your host in Europe, talking to you from London, UK.
I'm Gianni, your host in North America, reporting from Dallas in the US.
And I'm Carla, your host in South America, currently living in Santa Cruz, Bolivia.
We're friends living in three different continents.
And here we get to tell you about the funny stuff, the serious stuff, and everything in between.
So let's jump into today's episode.
Hi, guys. Welcome back to, back to our podcast.
It's been 100 years since the last time we recorded.
Yes. 2 freaking months.
Has it really?
And we're still not complete. we barely made it today.
Let's address some topics. Basically, our lives they've been pretty chaotic with work, personal lives, the whole thing. We'll address
weddings.
Weddings, trips, issues. Life. No, I'm kidding. Life. We'll address them all eventually, but today it's just Carla and I. We weren't able to record, as you know, obviously super hard to schedule. We can only do it on weekends, and we all have, of course, our lives and events and, you know, whatever's going on every weekend. So it's been very hard to schedule. So we've decided that for a little while, we'll just try to get two people in sync. So this time will be Carla and I, probably next time Carla and Leticia, and hopefully the time after that we'll be all back together.
Yes, hopefully we'll post next week also, because yes. I forget the information. Like, I have so many good stories, but now they're like not as detailed, you know, like they're not as fun because they're not fresh.
Exactly. So the moment passed a little, so like the emotions washed up a little. Carla though has a big weekend coming up. It's her birthday soon.
Oh, very yes soon. It's my birthday.
She's turning
Monday.
21, of course.
Oh my god,
the fact that we make these jokes already when we're 25 or 26 is just ridiculous.
I don't feel 26 though. Like, I feel like I'm still 25. I mean, I'm technically still 25, but...
No, but for real, how old do you feel? Like, really, really, though?
For the first time, I think I said this before in the podcast, I actually feel my age. Like, I love it. When I was younger, I was always more mature. Not more mature, but, like, I'm just a little more serious, I think.
Yeah.
I guess that translates to mature. When I was younger, like, I wasn't, like, my friends. I was like in a different stage, you know, and now I'm in like the perfect age. Like, I feel like half adult, half younger.
Mm-hmm. Young 25 adult. Is a good age, I have to say. It's fun. Yes.
I loved it. The year started strong. Some goals were met, but emotionally and like life-wise, feel my age, and that kind of like makes you happy because it's like kind of a little balance that I didn't feel before with my age or like what I was supposed to be doing and things like that. So I do not feel 26, and I won't say that I'm 26 anytime soon. I don't know. 26 is just a random number, if you know what
the
I mean.
Other, yeah, it's a little random. Like, the other day I said I was 25, even though I've been 26 for, like, 3 months or so. No, maybe two. I forgot. I feel like oftentimes now, like, I've gotten this question before, and people would ask me, you know, like, or someone asked me, you know, do you feel more pressure now that you're older and you're not dating anyone? And I, like, thought about it for a sec. And, like, legit question. It wasn't, you know, trying to be any, you know, like, a good, nice question. And I was like, not really. I mean, I was like, there's always been that pressure since we were, like, teenagers. And, like, now, if anything, I feel like I'm older and more mature. And it doesn't bother me as much when people would try to, like, you know, make those comments. I like, why aren't you dating? How come you're single? How come this? Like, it doesn't really...
Same.
Bother me as much, or I don't even think about it. Like, when she said it, I was like, oh, not really, you know, it's always been there, but it gets better.
I think it was like a self pressure, kind of like when you're younger, you put this like age range because you have no idea what comes after college. Like, it wasn't even in my mind what like the future was like. It was like up to like 25 in my mind, like what I visualized life. So there was the pressure of like, when I hit 26, 27, I'll have like my first kid and like get married and things like this. But it was like all like in my mind, like self-pressure that for the past 3 years, I haven't even felt like,
yeah,
it's not a thing anymore. Like you mature, you know that life is not, you can't plan for life. It's like more of like what happens and people that come in your life come and go. And it's more like, I don't know, unplanned.
Yeah, no, I agree. And also I feel like I see all these older women that are like 50 or, you know, in their late 40s and they're just amazing and like killing it. And they've gone through all sorts of things, you know? So obviously, and they say that it only gets better. Like they're like, I felt like I started enjoying, that's why that famous saying of like the youth is wasted on the, no, on the young. I don't remember, something like that. We can cut this out.
What?
Okay, let me.
I was like, mm-hmm. Yes,
trying
Jenny,
to
I support you.
I, yeah. No, what I meant was that, like, basically, young people, yes, you're young and this and that and whatever, like all the vanity stuff, you know, but yet internally, you're maybe not as confident yet, not as like proud of yourself, not as strong. And obviously, you gain life experiences and you get there, like, internally later. So that's why. Whatever, I should never say sayings for real. No, the point was, and I also heard so many podcasts by now of people, like, again, people that I admire, and they talk about when they were in their 20s, and literally all of them, or even in books, they say, like, my 20s, like, was kind of like the worst time. Like, they sucked, literally.
I would never go back. They always
they,
say,
I,
like,
yeah,
I would never,
they always
like, I won't,
say that. How they did, like, basically all their major mistakes, I don't know if you want to call them mistakes, but like stuff that they're not so proud of, let's say, like, that they did it in their 20s, and like how much they've grown and changed since then, and like how they look back on them, they're like, why would I ever do that? And like, oh my god, what happened, and what mindset was I living in, and, you know, the whole thing. So
100% agree.
Yeah, so I don't know. It's been pretty good so far. Shout out to one of our more loyal listeners. You know who you are. Shout out to Christy.
We love you.
We love Christy. She's getting married tomorrow, and I'm so freaking pumped. She's also having like a Vietnamese tea ceremony in the morning, and we have like special Vietnamese dresses. And I got to borrow one, and I'm so excited. So I'll be wearing that in the morning. And then for the evening party, I'll be wearing, like, you know, regular wedding dresses, I guess. And my internal international business major self is, like, so pumped.
Happy.
And happy to be invited to a wedding that's going to be different. You know, I'm going to learn about a different culture. And I don't know. I'm just so excited to even wear that different Vietnamese dress, you know. So
that's so cute. What color did, like, you get?
So the Vietnamese wedding dress is, it's black with like pink petals on, like flowers on it, and it's called an oi oi, in case you guys, you know what it is. But basically it's like, it's kind of cool because it's like a dress, but it goes, the sides open, so you have like pants that go with the dress underneath. So it's like long pants, and then on top of it, like
a long top
that's like cut it on the side, so it goes up, you know. Yes, so that's in the morning, and there's gonna be tea and coffee and food, and apparently it's like the introduction. I'm like telling her whole wedding at this point, but apparently it's like the introduction of like one family to the other family, and then like unifying and coming together. I hope, I mean, this is what I read online, and this is how she explained it to me. And after that, they're gonna have the evening party. So it's like tomorrow's wedding all day, the whole day. Literally, yes. I have to wake up at 6 a.m. and we'll be getting back home around like 9, probably.
Wow.
Maybe later. Who knows? Yeah. So that's tomorrow. Another wedding.
Random question. Do you wear heels?
So,
or do they have like
with the Vietnamese dress?
A specific like attire required.
Right. Or it doesn't matter. I asked this question. They said it doesn't really matter. I think most people wear heels, but you can definitely wear sandals. And I guess like they're all going to wear sandals, so I'll just do that too. But they said it doesn't really matter because the pants have to, they're long and they have to basically mostly cover your shoes. Floor. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So
that's so fun. Congratulations, Christy, again.
Yeah.
We love you.
We love you.
And in your honor, we will read your horoscope as well.
We will. By the way, also shout out to one of our roommates, Taylor, also another loyal listener who just got married last month.
Oh my God. And I missed it.
And it was so, I loved it.
Like, I love the pictures. They were so good.
Because she kept beautiful. Telling me the whole time that it was going to be just simple, like a garden wedding, but very simple. Games, things like the whole time she emphasized on like simple. So I figured like, because she kept saying that in my head, I was like, oh, it'll just be like a celebration type of thing. Like it won't be like a wedding. Or your traditional wedding, I should say. And then we got there and oh my God, it was incredible. Like the location, the house that they had it at, it was so pretty.
Huge.
Like, huge. Like and gorgeous, and just the whole thing, the whole setup, the tents, the lights, the food, the drinks, like the it was just, shout out to Taylor, we love you. And Taylor's mom also, because another loyal listener, she was like, when am I getting this sticker? I have to make more.
We need to figure out her sign.
Wait,
for the horoscope.
I know her birthday is in December.
I think it's like Capricorn, December, maybe?
I think it knows Sagittarius, I think. Well,
or Sagittarius. Yeah, true. I think Capricorn is after that. Let me read Taurus. Libra season, which is now, because I'm a Libra. Great. Libra season helps you cut bad habits and commit to healthier, more organized, and responsible ones, like habits. You could be confronted with the realities of a long-term pattern you need to break. Apply that tenacity of yours towards new and improved behavior. Well,
deep.
I mean, it's a fresh start. A wedding, like you're getting married, fresh start. Maybe you had a bad habit that you had for a long time and you wanted to break. Not that you have to, but like sometimes we have like things that we want to change. Mm-hmm. So now's the time. Your horoscope is the stars are aligning for you right now, basically.
It's so funny because like all my friends at work, they make fun of me because they think I'm like a little crazy to follow all this stuff. So I'm so glad I can do it with you.
I mean, they're fun. They're not like
they're fun. Exactly.
Not to take serious. You don't read it and are like, I need to do this in my life every month.
Right. Oh my God. Okay, next.
Next one is Gemini. Miss Gianni. Libra season inspires you to express yourself directly and creatively. Your emotional vulnerability, something like that, could help you transform a complex situation. So don't lean too heavily on your intellect. Instead, use it as a moment to help you showcase your sensitivities, your desires, and your authenticity.
Okay, I'll take that. Sure.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Thank you, Carla, for that. Libra, thank you for shining some light in my soul.
It's the season.
It's the season.
Okay, Libra.
You're not seeing Carla right now, but she's like glowing. She's like, it's
and, like loving it.
Sparkles. She's like hair flip, you know, the whole thing.
Okay. The sun shines behind your constellation during Libra season, and the universe wants to manifest your dreams quickly. New home on the brain.
Oh.
A square on Thursday could redirect you to a new one. And even strengthen the quality of your family relationships. Okay.
So which one was that one?
Libra.
Okay.
I don't know what it was, basically. Kind of like, I don't know. Something random. Okay. What was the other one? Sagittarius?
Yeah.
Sagittarius. Libra season means party time. Okay.
Okay.
Connect with your friends and enjoy yourself. Your truth-telling could be uncomfortable, but necessary. You can understand a friend's point of view without agreeing with it, so be compassionate and honest. Aw, that was cute.
That's a good one.
That was a very good one. And Miss Leticia, that is not here today, Pisces. Ooh. Libra season helps you connect more intimately, truthfully, and meaningfully to yourself and partners.
No spoilers. What does that mean, Leticia?
No spoilers. A friendship and/or lover experience improves your quality of connection. You don't have to separate or categorize. You can blend the best of both worlds. My God.
This okay, this is like her season.
Leticia, I'm sending this to her. Screenshot.
Yeah.
Loving it. Wait for next week's episode for more information.
No, no, for real, for real. Hey, I'll put Leticia on the spot right here. She has some things to address. Let's just say that.
Many things to address.
Uh-huh. Many things were left unsaid. Or not really unsaid, but a lot has happened in the last 2 months, basically.
I'm literally sending her the screenshot of her horoscope. So to today's topic, which is a little more serious.
Yes, it is.
We haven't addressed it at all, but a lot of, like, I don't know how to say it, but it's been rough here in my country, in Bolivia and Brazil, where Leticia's from, with the wildfires, like burning our forests, like it's like the images are crazy. And it was very close to me. Like, you drove 2 hours from my house and you would get to the fires. Like, that's how crazy it got.
Wild.
Yes. And I mean, the background to the fires here, I don't have that much information for the Brazilian wildfires. We will address it hopefully next week or in another episode. But yeah, it was political things, mostly in Bolivia. It was a lot of mismanagement and things that could have been avoided. That's what made it worse. And thank God right now, it's like minimal what the degree of the fires right now. They're still burning, but in a more controlled form. 4 people did die.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yes. All firefighters. It showed a lot of how unprepared we are and how sad it was. So it was like scary times. Like, the past month has been very scary. And like, as I mentioned, it was political because we were never, we never declared the country in like emergency state, even though most of our forests and national parks burned down. And we never like addressed it internationally as like we're in a natural like environment disaster mode.
But why was that though?
Because it's all political. It's all like we're, the elections are in 2 days for the president, and they didn't want, I mean, what I understand is like, once international people come in, they see the reality of the country and how it's managed, how poorly everything works, you know? So, yeah, I don't know. I don't want to get too much into detail. But it's just wrong. It was clearly wrong,
right?
You know, and it's very scary, and it just hurt the country even more. Like, we're already, like, super poor with, like, natural, like, not knowing how to manage correctly, like, natural resources. And then something like this happens.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes us more aware of, like, how we can help in our own ways, in our community. People moved, like, everyone was donating, taking stuff, even for the animals. Like, so many animals died. And a team, like, a bunch of teams of vets rushed there, and they made like cages from what they could, and people were donating like homemade little like cages or what's it called, for them, for animals to drink water from.
Mm-hmm.
And food. Like, a lot of people were helping, and it did bring us together. Yeah. So hopefully, I don't know, elections in 2 days, hopefully something changes for the positive.
Yeah, agree.
Or the next person in charge realizes that we are stronger together, and if people actually work together for a common cause, we would be better.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
That's crazy. Yeah, so it was already big news in South America, but they weren't yet broadcasting in the US, I guess. Finally, they did, but only after several days of a lot of burning. And I think that's when everybody found out here. I knew just from social media and things like that earlier, but not from, like, the news channel, to put it like that. And it was scary for everybody, I think, you know. I can't imagine being there, but also, you know, it affects every single person in the world, you know. Yes, the fires are happening in Brazil, in Bolivia, in other parts of South America, but at the end of the day, we're all breathing in one way or another, the same air. And, you know, if something happens across the world, it will affect you. It doesn't matter. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. We're all in it together. So we may live in different countries, have different languages, different cultures, and we may think of each other as different. No, but like, we all get affected by it. It's just how it is. So we have to care locally and work locally, and also be aware of what's happening internationally, because we're all in it, you know. Global warming will, or climate change, I should say, will affect everybody. It doesn't matter where you live, where you're from, how much money you make, it will affect you if we don't do something right now. So I've been really passionate about this whole thing for, I have to say, it's probably the thing that I care the most in terms of activism. I mean, even when I moved to Texas, I mean, little things. I know I can't, like, be taking up everything, but I try, like, little things, you know. Here, you're not required to recycle. It's just not how it is, like, in Texas, for example. And for us living in Pennsylvania, everybody did it, you know. It was just, you didn't think about it, you just did it. But here, it's, like, optional, only if you want to. So, I don't know. I go out of my way definitely to try to make a change, to talk about it, number one, just to get people to know what's happening, why it's changing, how we're feeling, how it's going to impact you, your children, your grandkids. Mm-hmm. And for example, here, it's just kind of like a funny story, but if people are driving in, I guess, in Dallas, because that's where I live, if they litter, so if they throw out trash out their window or something, I would literally drive. I think you've been in the car with me, maybe, Carla, when you visited me. I can't remember, but I think, mm-hmm. but I would drive, like, and get super close, take a picture of their license plate, remember their car, their make and model, the street that I was on. And then there's a page where you can report them. And what they do is really cool, because they send, it's called Don't, I'll say it because I want to promote it. It's called Don't Mess with Texas, or I believe that's the name, yeah. And what they do is you report it, and then the person gets in the mail, like, a little trash bag for the car and a letter saying, hey, please don't contaminate our streets, you know. This really nice message explaining why it's not the right thing to do, and then you get, like, a little trash can for your car, basically. So, I mean, I don't know. I think it's the nicest. I could, of course, pick up the phone and call the police and find them and all that, but I don't want to do that. I'd rather kind of, like, explain them what's happening and for them to mm-hmm. be reasonable and don't do it anymore, basically.
Yes, educate them on the topic.
Yeah, and the fires actually also got to Paraguay, not in the scale as it did in Bolivia or Brazil, but we had definitely fires. It happened. And thankfully, they put it away somewhat, or it wasn't fast, but I guess faster than in the other countries. And now it's back to normal. But also, I mean, shout out to all the people who worked, you know, including yourself, Carla, promoting and trying to raise awareness and everything, because it was a team effort. I feel like the whole, all the people in those countries were working towards the same thing. You know, it wasn't just the firefighters or the people that maybe in your head you'd be like, yeah, they'll take care of it. Like you said, people were volunteering as firefighters, you know, mm-hmm. and then us regular people were trying to raise awareness. So it's scary for sure. We live in a scary time, you know, things are happening that, I mean, in my lifetime, and I had seen anything like that in South America, you know, it was the first time that I heard or knew about so many fires like that.
Yes, it was definitely scary, especially because we were covered in smoke. Also, the city was like smoky.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it was covered in smoke. A lot of people, kids in towns were like evacuated. It was definitely, definitely very scary. Also, like, the fact that since it was man-made, like, people started this fire. Like, it wasn't, like, nature. Mm-hmm. And it was a lot of ignorant people. And the firefighters would work so hard to put out the fires, and then they would start them again. That's what, it's mind-blowing. Like, there was so much money involved, like, so much money trying to take like a freaking truck that would dump water in the fire or something, or help people there. They would finish one area, go to another area, and then it would flame up again. Yes, in this other place, and they would find all the tools and everything that was sparking it.
Mm.
Because there are these, that's what was more frustrating, because this is in the law in Bolivia, like. They made a law in what year? 2017. They approved the law that the government can give away land that is not like the forest. They can say, like, I'm gifting it to this person. Isn't that crazy? So they brought people. I just have to say it. They brought tons of people from little towns in like random places that they don't have the education, they don't know how to work land because they would live in a mountain or in the desert or something like that. And they would bring them to these places in the forest and they would give them the land. They're like, this whole area is yours. And there's these like very primitive ways of agriculture and like working the land where you burn the land so it starts fresh again.
Mm-hmm.
But there are laws, like other rules in my state where like it's very controlled fires. You would have to have like the signature of your neighbors. Everyone in the area knows that you would burn down the grassland or whatever. And then you had like people around it do like preventative work so that the fire doesn't spread. Like there's a whole process to do it. But since all these people were brought to the forest and gifted the land, they just burned it all. Like, they don't know what they're doing, you know? Like, extremely ignorant, like, extreme ignorance. And so that spread because it's dry season. They have no idea what they're doing. They're just burning because they don't want the trees. Like, they want, like, the land to work it. So that's how it all started. Can you believe that?
No.
It's like millions and millions and millions of hectares of land gifted and burned down just because, like, they don't know what they're doing. It's so frustrating and stupid and all of the above. I can't.
In Paraguay, there's this culture. I don't know if it's the same in Brazil or Bolivia, but for some reason, there's this culture of people, which I have no idea when or why it started, but it happens and it's been happening, that especially people from the countryside, if they have trash, they burn the trash.
Yes. Yes. Why? They were still burning trash. They were still burning trash while the fires were happening. I would go because I'm working in my family farm, which is in another area, like the opposite of where the fires were,
mm-hmm.
like towards the center of the country, kind of like opposite okay. to Brazil. And along the way, like on the countryside, like going to my farm, fire here, fire there, people yes. burning trash in their house, whatever. I'm like, how can you be? We're in dry season as well. So most of the plants are, we don't have like fall, winter, whatever. We don't have seasons. We have either rainy season or dry season, basically. Where there's like so much water that everything is like, everyone's drowning, or there's like no water. Like, that's it. And it's hot all year round. And we're in dry season and people just don't care. They don't give a F. Because there's just not, like, they're not conscious of, like, how it affects everyone. Even the smoke, like, it's terrible for the environment.
You would be driving in the countryside exactly the way you describe it, in the countryside in Paraguay, and literally every little house is burning their fire out in the backyard, like, as if it was, like, part of life, you know?
Yes, and I have all the numbers of the places where you can report them. Never got an answer of a single place.
Really?
I had, like, the government, not the government, but, like, the local government, you know? Like, the, like, alcaldía and stuff like that. I don't know how you say yeah. it in English. Not, like, the central government of the president, but, like...
The mayor
and everything. They have, like, programs to report, like, fires because they're not allowed. Technically, it's illegal to burn anything. You can't even do, like, a, like, s'mores in your house. You know, like a fireplace thing outside. It's not, it's illegal here. No one gives a fuck. Like, as I was mentioning, like, there's fires every time I go. Like, if it's at night, I always see them. Even towards the what's it called? The airport. Like, there were yeah. fires. Like, oh my gosh.
I literally so just annoying. Googled why do people burn their trash. I'm just so intrigued how this whole thing started. And I don't know. There's still a lot on the internet about it, so we can all Google later if we want, but it's saying burning plastic, rubber, or other man-made materials creates dioxide and other dangerous toxics in the air, soil, and groundwater. This endangers you, your children, your neighbors, your pets, birds, and fish, with tumors, cancers, learning disorders, infertility, immune system problems, asthma, and other diseases. Children, teenagers, and pregnant women are at the highest risk. The resulting ash is also toxic and can easily get into the ground and your well water. So, there you go. Don't do it.
It's so annoying. They mostly do it here because it's like they don't want to take the time to dump it in like their local, since it's the countryside.
Yeah,
like
exactly.
the garbage truck doesn't go by their houses. So they would have to accumulate it and then carry it to like the nearest town where they would have a dump or something.
Yeah.
And they're like, they don't want to do that, I guess, or they're lazy, so they just burn it so that it's not in their house.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just obviously ignorance at its finest.
Yeah.
I can't even. It's frustrating.
But on a positive note, I have to say, maybe I've told you this before already, but you can tell me. My friends in Paraguay, they had this event, and it was done by Corona, the beer company. And it was basically called, like, in Spanish, like, drink Coronas and clean your lake or something. I think it was actually the river. I can't remember. It was our lake or our main river. But so it was like a party, and everyone was, you know, drinking but cleaning the whole thing, so like improving the water. And I thought it was such a cool campaign, and literally everybody went. It was a blast, and you know, and it was for something really good. So,
plus Coronas come in a glass container, so it's better for the environment.
Yeah, yeah. I also hear. I know it's super popular in the U.S. to, like, everybody here basically uses plastic forks, plastic knives, yes. plastic everything, plastic plates, plastic bowls, plastic literally everything. I have remained Paraguayan in that sense. I, for many reasons, but number one, of course, the environment. So I don't do that. I also now, when I pay my electricity bill, I donate $5 to energy savings. I mean, I know it's nothing, but I'm not a millionaire, so I would do more if I had more.
No, everything helps.
Yeah. So, I mean, I do more things, I just can't remember, but exactly. It's more like the little things that you do every day, but I think also the main thing is to talk to your friends, talk to your coworkers, talk to your family members. If there's someone that doesn't believe in it, doesn't agree with it, doesn't really want to change anything or help with the problem, then just have a conversation, you know? Mm-hmm. Most people are willing to listen and willing to hear what you have to say and compare to what they think. And I have to admit, people that you would think would not change their minds at all, they have in the past. I have spoken with these people and they've changed. So you didn't lose anything by having that conversation. And you can win so much, you know, literally the future. That's what we're all trying to save here. I also 100% recommend the documentary by Leonardo DiCaprio. It's called Before the Flood, and it came out a few years ago, and he's in it. The former president Barack Obama is in it. The Pope is in it. So many influential people are a part of this documentary, and it really, I think many people don't want to see also documentaries about climate change because they say, oh, it's so negative, it scares me for my future and all this and all that, which I understand. But of course, we have to learn what's happening. We have to know what's going on. And the best part about, honestly, about this documentary, in my opinion, is the hope that it gives you. It literally shows you every single problem we're having currently and how we can fix them all through politics, through businesses, through many platforms, and how we can actually, if we do it soon enough, it can all be reversed and we can maintain our planet. So I don't know, don't give up, you know what I mean? Like, every little thing helps, and I don't know, let's try to save it.
Yes, I was so impressed when I went to Chile a couple months ago. They don't use plastic bags. No place ever would give you a plastic bag.
Well, that's great.
It was amazing. No yeah. mall in the mall, the supermarket, no plastic bags. You have to take your own bags. No place, like not even like little shops. We went into like markets and like places that are like usually go the cheaper side. So obviously plastic bags are like extremely cheap and that's why they're used or convenient or whatever. No yeah. place. It was like that's amazing. Awesome. And that's Latin America, which is...
Mm-hmm. I was going to say, that's really good. In Europe, that's basically almost how it is already. And that's good to hear. Here in North America, it's been a struggle still. I always bring my own bags and everything. But there's been times where I was like, I don't want to go grocery shopping. I just want to pick it up. So I order online and I do the drive through and they load your car basically. But I don't do that anymore because it pissed me off and it drove me crazy. The fact that they literally grab one plastic bag and drop one item in it. Another plastic bag, that item number two. Another, like, I had 100 plastic bags for a very small amount of grocery that I had done. And it like upset me so poorly and badly. I was like, I will never do this again. I will just come in here, shop on my own, bring my bags and go about my life. Yes. I also feel like, Kyle, I'm going to show you this, but this is super, I don't know why I think it's South American, but in my head it's a bag where we keep all the bags that we literally get from, like, so even if you don't know what it is, it's just, I don't know, in South America, I think it's a part of the culture, I don't know, but you literally keep every single bag that they give you and you reuse them. I don't know if it's, hey, for being cheap, for being good about the environment, whatever it is.
No,
truthfully, we reuse them. We do. And so that was happening. I was like, I don't have, because I would use that for, like, I don't know, the little trash can in my room or in my bathroom, whatever. But I was like, I'm having so many. I don't have a use for these. Like, no, it's, and that, so.
True. Yeah. I have a little problem because I buy my reusable bags, mm-hmm. But then they usually have the logo of the company I bought it. Like in that supermarket, it has the huge logo of that supermarket. And then I kind of like feel weird taking that supermarket back to a different supermarket. So I end up buying the one from that supermarket. When I have a ton of bags, I need to get generic ones of like a flower, a bird, a butterfly or something. Like a generic shape.
If anybody says anything to you, be like, hey, lady, I'm trying to save the world here. So please just let it go. I know this is not your grocery store. I'm trying to be a good citizen.
I know. So I have like 10 different ones, but I use them. It's still better than 50 other plastic bags.
That's why it makes me happy to go to Europe, because I would like, I'm going to Germany next week, and I people make fun of me, but I like take pictures of like trash cans because I'm just so amazed. I'm like, okay, they have this for the food, for the plastic, for the glass, for the paper, like the whole breakdown to like really, really recycle it. And I take a picture and I go back to the US and I show my friends. I'm like, this is what we have to do, guys. Like, you know, so even on the train, they would have all this. Different types of recycling.
categories.
Yes. Yeah,
see, that sucks. Yes. Here, because like even if I did select like glass from plastic, from I don't know, tin or whatever, paper or things that can't be reused or recycled, they would all dump it in the same place. Like there's no actual organization from like the trash dispensary,
yeah,
or whatever it's called, system. So I have seen in places like in universities here or something, they would have mm-hmm. like recycle bins and stuff, but I don't know if they actually do it.
Yeah, in Paraguay, the way this is, so it's also not as sophisticated as it is in other parts of the world, but you can recycle, but you have to take it to a special place. Like they don't pick up.
Yes, they do that. Yes, because my brother works at Coca-Cola. Which is like, but they do half recycled material and half like original material, something like that. And I have all my bottle caps, like yeah, all the bottle so caps like, and the bottles. You take it.
Yeah. Yes. So I've trained. Oh, I have. Well, I encouraged my family, so now they do recycle. They just have to take it. I mean, it's extra work for sure, but they just have to take it to the special recycling facility that unfortunately doesn't do pickups yet. That's it. And I think we have to talk, Carla, about this amazing little girl who shocked the world with her speech.
Greta. Miss Greta.
Yeah.
She's amazing. She's inspirational.
She is. Yeah. Yes, she is. I remember just watching. She wasn't on my radar before. I wasn't, you know, just one day, literally, all I saw was her really famous video.
Going viral, and yes.
Yeah, that's the first thing that I saw. So I was like, who is this girl? I got chills when she was, because she's so passionate, the way she speaks.
And so young.
So young. And hearing her say all those things, it really gave me the chills. I'm really happy that, you know, the younger generation also feels so strongly about this. I think there's hope. I think there is. Yes. I just hope it's not too late when people take action.
Yes. I mean, yeah. Yes, agreed. We can't keep living like traditional ways just because they work. Like, you need to understand in the world you're living in, and anything that we can get better, we should be getting better.
Yeah, like just ask yourself the question, would you set up a fire in your own home? No, you wouldn't. Would you throw away trash in your own home? No, you wouldn't. Would you try to keep your home clean and nice, you know, because you live there? Probably you would. So that's what this planet is for us. It's our home. So I don't think it should be hard to so simple, you know, we need it. So
100% agreed. Yeah.
I had one more thing to say, Carly. Oh, this has been difficult for me, but I have definitely of course, I'm from Paraguay, the whole culture and traditional food, it's very heavily emphasized with red meat. It's just how it is. We're big exporters of meat. We have delicious meat. I'll be honest about it. But I have to say, I've decreased the amount of meat that I eat a lot. I've replaced it with fish and other types of, you know, and I really tried to eat less of it, even though I love it. I just know what it does now for the environment. So again, do what you can. Everything helps, I think.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Thank you guys for listening to us for like an hour, but we're very passionate about all these topics: horoscopes, wedding season, and the environment.
Hey, that's 100% true. In that order, too. No, I'm kidding. No, that's not true. Horoscopes, then the fires, then no. No, for real. What's your order? Mine's fire. Mine's climate change, then horoscopes, and then weddings.
100%.
Yeah.
But we're happy for everyone who's getting married. No, it's just expensive. Okay, guys. Thank you for listening. We'll see you next week.
Everybody, wish Carla happy birthday. Bye.